Welcome to the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your host, Mark Becker. Thank you all for joining us. We're here. We've got another episode that we're going to talk about the 8th Congressional District. Last week, if you missed it, we had Mark Scheffler, who is running against Tony Weed, our favorite target here on the Rational Revolution. So there is going to be a primary, first time in a long time here in the 8th Congressional District for the Democratic side. And we have Rick Crossan, who is the other challenger so far, who said, I'm going to step up and I'm going to take on Tony Weed. Well, I'm Mark Scheffler, too. So welcome to the show, Rick.
Thank you, Mark.
What's up? Did I say your name right?
Rick, you got Crossan. It right.
All right. Sweet.
You got it right.
Hey, we're off on a good foot here. Yeah. So I guess here we are. Tell us about yourself.
Well, Rick Crossan. I'm the son of a command sergeant major. And for all you veterans out there who understand the rank structure, that's as high as one can get in the enlisted rank structure. My dad was one of those kind of guys that when he walked in the room, everybody sat a little straighter in their chair.
Okay.
And what he wanted from all of his kids was full accountability for us to be to answerable to the things that we did and to always be moving things forward and to leave things better than they were when we got there. Mm. I'm an Army brat. I was born in Philadelphia, but that's not where I grew up. I've lived in, and I was just counting the other day, about 19 different places around the world.
Oh, my God.
Including Germany, Italy as a kid. I've lived on the West Coast, East Coast, all down south. And it's why I can say that Wisconsin, Green Bay in particular, for me anyway, is what the rest of the world and West of America would like to be like.
Yeah,
if it could.
That's awesome.
Perspective
is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's exactly the word, is a worldly perspective that I bring to hometown America. I've been here in the Wisconsin and Green Bay area since 2001. I was in the Army for 20 years. 20 years and 1 month. I always tell people that was one heck of a month.
Yeah.
I'm a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel.
Cool.
I flew helicopters for a living.
Oh, my God. Which one?
I started out flying Hueys, UH-1s.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I flew the OH-58 Scout aircraft.
That's awesome.
Cobra attack helicopter. And the last aircraft I flew was the UH-60 Black Hawk.
Oh, my God. That's badass.
Yeah, 20
years. That's really
cool,
man.
And I got...
Thank you for that.
Thank you. I achieved the aeronautical designation of Master Army Aviator.
Okay.
And there again, flying and for 20 years gives you a three-dimensional perspective of things.
Yeah, when I was in college, I did a marketing thing and mm-hmm. I worked for Bellin Hospital here in town, and I got to take pictures of the Bellin Run, but I flew up an Eagle 3.
Awesome.
So I got to, ride in the medical helicopter,
uh-huh.
not for a medical reason.
Yeah.
So I really got to enjoy it. Oh my God, is that cool.
Oh, it's awesome. It's just awesome. Every time I see a helicopter, I get a little tear in my eye. I'd like to be doing that again.
That's cool.
So yeah, I was commissioned, like I said, I retired as a lieutenant colonel. I served in a lot of combat aviation units, the 6th Cavalry Brigade, the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment, when we used to fly the border surveillance, what was then the Iron Curtain, the 101st Airborne Division. And then my last role in the military, I was a liaison officer to the government of Mexico. So I worked out of the embassy in Mexico City. And did a lot of things down there, counter-narcotics related type of stuff. So I retired from the Army, and then former commander of mine, a gentleman who I just admire greatly, he moved up here, and he took a role with Schneider National.
Oh, sure.
And he says, Rick, I think there's some opportunity for you here in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow.
So I looked on the map, saw where Green Bay was, and I said, let's go. So I've been here since 2001. I've been in the transportation and logistics field, serving in executive and leadership roles there, managing lots of activities, anywhere from the entire automotive sector for the company, And then I was running a trucking company for the last 9 years, DeBoer Transportation in central Wisconsin. I did that for 9 years, okay. And then I retired from that. So I tell people I'm retired. So I retired from the military, then I retired from running a business. I was a chief operating officer for that company. Oh. And so now, what have I been doing lately? I just came off of a one-year appointment to the Green Bay Area School Board.
Yep.
And I did a lot in that 1 year's period of time. We established a strategic plan, that one that is doing more than just writing the plan and putting it up on the shelf. They are living with that plan as we speak.
Yeah, that's cool what they're doing.
We rewrote the job description for the superintendent that has words like accountability and deliverables and measurable results, quantifiable results. So I'm very proud of the work that I've done in with that. And I'm currently a member of the Brown County Library Board.
Oh, cool.
Which has allowed me to really get into, I'm all about reading and creating that kind of a solid foundation for people, not just kids, but for everybody. I mean, for me, that's foundational to making informed decisions, is your ability to read and function. So I'm doing that now. I'm a father of three. My son is currently on active duty himself. Oh, wow. He is nearing the end of his military career. My son is a combat veteran. He and his wife and five kids, they live in Savannah, Georgia. He's stationed at Fort Stewart, Georgia.
Yeah, okay.
And I have my middle daughter is a single mom, and she's a financial manager for a big, huge philanthropic organization. I always laugh. I said, what do they do? She said, Dad, we just give away money.
That's cool.
They give money to worthy causes, primarily environmentally centric causes. And then my youngest daughter, Jasmine, just graduated from UW Stevens Point last year. And she just finished working aboard Royal Caribbean Cruise Line.
Ah, cool.
And she is now in New York City. So she's got Broadway aspirations. That's the girl is super talented. And I'm proud of all three of my kids. And then I have eight grandchildren who I'm now trying to be a role model for them. I believe that kids should never have to look outside their own home and their own family to find a role model.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have an incredible background. And then you woke up one morning and was like, I want to run for Congress. How'd that come about?
Yeah. Well, one need only look at these deteriorating conditions that are around, and you can't sit, I can't sit idly by and just complain about where this country is heading. We are heading towards an autocratic dictatorship that needs to be put in check. I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we have a clear and present danger here with what is going on in this country. I'm also seeing a breakdown in separation of powers between the executive, legislative, and judicial branch of government. They are handing way too much power to the executive branch, and that's got to be stopped. As a member of Congress, I understand I'm one of 435 folks, but I can have a significant influence in putting that in check. I am not a knee bender. I'm not going to be bending my knee to anybody, any one particular person or whatever. This is about keeping things moving in the direction that this country says it is aspiring to be. We're not there yet, but we are certainly being derailed right now by people who are seeking this power for, in my opinion, nefarious reasons. So, yeah, I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I understand the odds. I know what I'm up against. I'm up against an entrenched incumbent Republican congressman who I personally believe is in over his head. Mm-hmm. He's not accountable. He's been ghosting a lot of folks. And and for me, I'm all about accountability. I think if you truly believe in what you're doing, it should stand the scrutiny of a question or a bunch of questions from the people who put you in office. So I'm all about accountability and making myself available to the people who put me in office. But there's also higher accountabilities as a member of Congress. You got to do what's best for the nation. Mm-hmm. And you've got to do what's best for us as a member of the world community. Right now, we are not held in the level of esteem that we ever used to be or that we aspire to be. And we have to get that back.
It's interesting how, I had it out a little bit on social media with someone this week, mm-hmm. who we were talking about our wonderful representative, Mr. Weed, mm-hmm. and why, you know, the fact that he hasn't made himself available to people that don't necessarily agree with him.
Right.
And this guy's name is Ken. So shout out to Ken. And he was like, why would he do that? They don't agree with him and all of that. And like, what a stupid cop out.
Yeah.
He doesn't represent just the Republicans of the 8th Congressional District. He represents all people.
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether you agree with someone or whether you disagree with someone. They elected you to do that job. You are accountable to them. What a freaking cop out.
I agree with you, Mark. It makes no sense to me. And like I said, if you truly believe that what you're doing is right, you should have no fear in standing up in front of people and taking whatever it is that they have to give to you.
Yes.
And you're right. If you're elected in that position, you have an obligation to all 700 plus thousand people in the 8th Congressional District, not just the people in one particular party.
The bobbleheads that are like, oh, sure, great, good job. So what was it? Was there like a key thing that you kind of said, okay, well, this is ridiculous, or is it just, you know, a snowball of...
Well, I'm very confident in my own skill set and my own abilities to get things done. I see myself as a seeker of objective truth.
Yep.
And that is truth, whether or not you or I like it or not, it mm-hmm. is the truth. What I'm seeing is folks are living in their own little bubbles of information, of ideology, of dogma. And so how do you resolve anything if you haven't come to the table with an objective mindset, if we have the same start point of commonality of purpose and objectives? I understand how to do those things. I've done that my whole life, of seeking the common ground as a good start point to move things forward, to resolve the problem so the problems never show themselves ever again. I know how to do that. So I can bring that skill set to bear in resolving these kinds of issues. And there are some significant issues out here that are plaguing the members of this particular district, all 8 counties, plus that little sliver of Winnebago County that's been gerrymandered increasingly. And you hear it from them. I've been to more county fairs in the last few weeks than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah.
But what I'm learning is that there are some significant issues that people are highly anxious about, and you name it, environmental issues. There's healthcare concerns. There's concern about from farmers. I didn't know until I talked to them that there's a mental health crisis among farmers. Suicide rates are pretty high, but it doesn't get advertised because they kind of keep to themselves, and they keep their problems to themselves. But they're willing to tell you if you're willing to listen. So
we're gonna continue this. We're gonna talk on the other side of the break here with Rick Crossan, candidate for the 8th Congressional District. We're gonna ask him, what are you hearing, and what are the what can we do about it? So stick around here on the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker on the Civic Media Radio Network.